flash back, slash flash sideways. Savior of the universe.
So, what is it? So what is it? So what is it? The Red Dwarf Podcast!
Well, hello, hello. Here we are again for another episode of So What Is It?
A Red Dwarf Podcast!
They're finally getting quite good at that, so I'm quite pleased. Although, once again, Matt is very busy, so he's in a different country, no less. Only a couple of hours up the road, but a different country anyway. Yeah. I don't know if it's as hot there as it is here. We are recording in this mild heat wave we're having, so we're all, if we sound sweaty, that's the reason.
Mild? There's nothing mild about it.
How do you sound sweaty? How is that a thing?
But you manage. I don't know. But so this is fresh. You know, you've been busy, haven't you, Matty? So you've literally just finished watching the show, haven't you?
I literally finished watching 2 minutes before we started recording.
I mean, to be fair, that's like it was when you weren't busy, but at least you've got a reason now.
Yeah, you could say that.
So I'm here with, of course, Matty, Matt and Dan, and we're going to crack on talking about Ouroboros.
Indeed.
Ouroboros. Okay, Ouroboros. And, you know, for a long time, we sort of said there's always something new to talk about, and here we are. You know, we were worried you were going to miss this one, Matty, because we have hit an episode where there really is something new and different to talk about, isn't there?
Mm.
You know, so I'm not sure how we approach it. What's the best way to approach it? I don't know if I'm seeing smiles from people or people are holding back or what, but definitely I think this is one that the situation maybe splits opinion. I don't know if that's fair to say. Let's see if it splits anything for us.
Possibly. I don't know. It depends on what everyone else thinks.
Well, I have to say, I quite enjoyed the episode, really.
Well, this is you getting off the fence, yes.
I mean, definitely I enjoyed it more than last week's. But then again, I did say last week was one of the worst ever, I suppose. But so hopefully it is going forward. I reasonably enjoyed it. There's definitely stuff to talk about. What do you think, Matt?
I think it was a bit of a game changer, to be perfectly honest, because it was the character scape has changed yet again. And yeah, I think this is a slightly landmark episode in terms of the story and what have you.
But did you like it?
Yes, I did. I mean, yes.
Short answer for now.
Yes, short answer. Yeah. I was slightly perturbed by how to pronounce the episode.
Ouroboros.
Yes, there's me thinking it's Ouroboros or something, you know.
So, Dan, do you remember getting to this one back in the day? I mean, obviously you knew this happened, this thing, a new character, Kachansky, joins us. You knew it happens, but do you remember it?
I did. I do know, you're right. I did know this was happening, and I did know this had happened. I don't have clear recollections of the episode, if I'm honest. I have clear recollections of our new Kachansky. That's a whole other podcast. Indeed. But I don't remember actually watching this episode particularly. So it was, I almost felt Matty-like in watching this. Almost like a new...
Don't be extreme. But did you enjoy?
I did enjoy. Interesting, the bits that jumped out to me that I did enjoy, and we'll talk about them, but were different to that, which I might normally find it enjoyed an episode. But no, enjoyed the episode.
So, Matty, you knew this was coming, basically, didn't you? Obviously, you'd not experienced it. I enjoyed it, but being resigned to it is the wrong phrase. But, you know, I've made peace with the fact that this happens. I'm not sure how I felt about it back in the day, but I'm well aware this happens and what happens in the future. As our resident person who's not watched this before, how did you take to this one? How did you get on?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I think it was so many episodes where I think in the beginning, especially the second to third series, there were big things happening all the time. You know, we had like the intro of Crichton and we had new styles, new sets and things. Every time we watched it was like, oh, another big thing's happened. And recently that started to sort of die down a bit because it really found its footing.
Yeah.
And it'd been running for ages at this point. this felt like the first time in ages that something big has happened again. Like there was another big change. And like Matt said, it was a game. It was a game changer of an episode. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Now whether this game being changed will bring us good things going forward, I guess we'll find out as we travel down this road together. But at least we've got an episode where we've enjoyed it. So
yeah, I mean, I liked the fact that it had a prologue and an epilogue. I do like things like that. But I will say, from the get-go, I really found myself mourning the loss of Rimmer. In that first few minutes, I really kind of felt, oh, where is he? You know, and then when he did pop up and make an appearance, I was really quite pleased.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't actually feel that. Maybe it's because
you're dead inside.
No. I'm just wondering, is because I know how the show goes forwards, and
yeah,
the situation is accepted. I don't know how, or maybe it's because this series has had a different feel for it anyway. I didn't instantly feel that, because we've often had sections at the start of an episode where it's concentrated on a pair of characters away. I like the way they introduced her, to be honest. Yeah, we had a little bit of Rimmer.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually feel that very much.
Overall, the episode, you know, there's always that question, isn't it? You know, if you assume that when a character leaves that they've really left, and I've recognised the point that Matty particularly has made on a number of occasions, are they just going to reset next week or not?
Yeah.
Obviously, with this one, no, they didn't. He's gone. But given that he was involved in the flashback, slash sideways.
How many times do you say flash?
Flash.
Anyway, just edit that out.
No, that's good. Yeah,
excellent. Anyway, given that he was present in that, I didn't feel the episode was missing Rimmer because he was in it.
Right, cool. Matty, Rimmer missing.
It sounds really bad that I was really glad in the way that then, like Dan just said, they didn't just do a reset. I was fully expecting this and this happened and now he's back again. So the fact they've actually kept to that story and he's still not there, I probably didn't really notice that he was missing until quite a while in.
That's sort of how I felt about it, really.
Yeah. It's
like the balance of the episode was there in what was going on and characters and things. So yeah, I sort of felt the same as you, I think.
Yeah. It was good to see him in the flashback bit, but it took the flashback bit to remind me, oh yeah, he's not in it.
Mm. I mean, it was a massive thing at the time. It was a massive thing. I remember knowing that he was going to be leaving, and reading the news about he's going to be in this many episodes, but not quite how the structure would be. And it's hard to accept this new character at the time. Going back to an old show, it's maybe slightly different. Anyway, we need a few good moments, don't we?
We need a few of our favourite things.
Indeed. Matty, go on, you go first today.
I mean, for me, it had to be the creator with it just lying to me. I mean, that whole scene was one of those where it was just a non-stop laughter scene, and I loved it. It was so somewhat out of character for Rimmer, and it was so funny and so well done.
Brighton Old Mister.
It was brilliant. That whole scene in general with just Crichton Noah's and the walk and all that was just brilliant.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it was funny. It was funny. I mean, we had a quick chat about this because we have missed a week of recording, so we couldn't help but talk over a quick pint in the pub. I think I felt, and maybe a couple of us felt, that scene might have been a smidge too long, but still very funny. Matt.
I would like to say, and I'm going back to Rimmer.
Your type isn't Kachansky, Listy. It's someone called Tiffany. Someone who drinks Campari and soda and wears orange crotchless panties.
Says something rather than something and laughs like a wounded moose strapped to a cement mixer.
Sorry,
Dan. That's quite all
right. Was that what you're going to go for?
It was one of the ones on my list.
Go on then.
What? The first thing I laughed out loud at was Rimmer waiting for Lister to come back off shore leave, holding up a sign that said Smeghead.
Yeah.
It's just a nice little touch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this series, because it's going back to one writer, I think he is falling back on a few old bits and pieces now. this really felt like an early line somehow. But yeah. You know, I liked the line when you're saying he was poncing about in a big white floppy hat.
That guy is such a poser. The way he always wears that white suit and that stupid big white floppy hat.
He's a chef.
Yes.
And that felt an old school line somehow to me. I don't know. But, you know, I like that line. That's good. So, yeah, unusual to have a flashback, but I guess necessary in a way to help that transition, I suppose. But I've got a question for you. Was the flashback... It was the other crew, wasn't it? That was the alternative crew, wasn't it? That's how you took it. Yeah.
That was the story of why Kachansky was put into stasis instead of...
Yes, exactly.
Because when I first saw it, I thought, where are these uniforms from? But of course, it was a parallel universe, so that's why they were wearing different
uniforms.
So we
can explain everything that's not consistent because it was the other mob.
Yes. Not only is it Red Dwarf, it's another Red Dwarf. So it's even bigger excuse.
I was absolutely mortified when she put that cat in the microwave.
Oh, it's disintegrated.
No, it wasn't a microwave.
It was clearly a microwave. You know, it said Sanyo on it or something like that. You know, or other models are available. Everybody's choosing Sanyo. Sanyo, quality above all. However, I was just mortified, and then obviously she saves the cat, which I'm assuming then becomes our cat in a parallel universe. But that
was a good example of some of the bits that I enjoyed the most were those just little asides. They were almost visual gags as opposed to lines in the show. She just casually bungs it in the disintegrator. Everybody's choosing Samuel. And then of course the disintegrator doesn't work, so she takes it away. Quality above all. There were a few moments
or she chose not to turn
Well, she
on.
Pressed the buttons.
I thought she was programming it and chose not to do it.
Okay, perhaps it was ambiguous either way. Yeah. But anyway, she goes to do it without... But as she does it, she doesn't do it with any sort of look on her face. She just goes to do it. Lister doesn't say, oh no, don't microwave / disintegrate my cat. It's just, she does that.
Oh, he wasn't there. He was in somewhere else by that point. She'd taken it away.
I think he was there.
I fundamentally disagree.
Didn't walk off. She turned around to do it.
No, right in front of him. It was a cut. It was an edit to where she was later. I mean, this is important. We get to the bottom of this. What do you think? It wasn't the same scene. She took the cat off him, went elsewhere, but we cut to where she was. The microwave stroke to sit where
it was. It was a swifter cut than most. Then I think she just took it, turned around.
To be fair, they did edit this one to shreds.
Well, I was going to.
We had no opening titles. They were trying to cut things out.
I was actually going to say, I wouldn't like to say which one of you I think is right.
Well, when I edit, I will review.
Well, of course. All I will say is that there was definitely editing going on.
So I have, of course, reviewed this, and Dan is. What's that rimmer phrase? Wrong, brimming over with wrong ability. That's it.
Slash flash sideways.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a question for the three of you, with regards to like pretty much the prologue, the first scene where Lister is going through his male grooming type thing. obviously, Dan, Matthew, and myself, with me being the oldest, are in our 40s, and Matty is in his early 30s. I'm sorry, but you don't pull out nasal hair with kitchen tongs, and it doesn't hurt that much.
Well, maybe it does if you use kitchen. Lister has done this before. This is a thing that he does.
Is this comedy corner time already?
No, it's it's grooming corner and new section. Yes.
Is it grooming watch?
Oh yeah, whatever. But I mean, seriously. I will admit to owning a pair of tweezers, and I will admit to, yanking out my nasal hair if I do see any sort of outcropping that needs to be, you know, deforested. And I don't think it hurts that much.
I think this does come under comedy corner of exaggerating things that we all go through.
Well,
you know, it's that sort of thing, isn't it? But,
you know, just as an aside, you can get like a little electric trimmer attachment for your thing.
The crap.
I find it
They're, well, I mean, they're, okay. Only I've never found that they don't reach somewhere.
Maybe your nasal hair is different.
Maybe you have
you know, we're all different, Dan.
You have a lower astuteness of your nostril passages.
Anything
to
add, Matt?
For your nose.
Well, they do the job anywhere as required, I'm sure. Although I have got a further question about this. I mean, the way the story is, he's shaving at it's night time, right? So he's doing all this at night before he goes to bed. Or is this just another bad edit?
Well, no, it could be the morning. He's
no, I don't think it was the morning.
It doesn't matter when it is. He's having. Yeah, you know, I would normally shave in the morning. And brush my teeth in the morning also. Not necessarily at the same time.
No, I can't.
They're in space. It's always nice, isn't it?
Yes, but they must have a day-night routine. Now, I can't remember the reason why, but the second time I watched it, I thought, why is he doing it now?
I just, occasionally, if I have a shower at night and I know that I can't be bothered in the morning, I will shave before I go to bed. I do that sometimes.
Yeah, fair enough. But it's just a little question that came
not
up
very often
in the same scene for me, really. But I mean, did we like the line?
I think it's nature's way of telling you it's time to buy a flat cap and a pair of driving gloves, sir.
Are you there yet, Matty?
No, I'm not. I'm not your age just yet. There was kind of a lot of driving jokes. There was a whole thing about the taxi and the Skoda thing as well. I was like, well, yeah, a few little. What was it? Something about driving in a Skoda. And I thought, who drives a Skoda nowadays?
Well, more people nowadays.
Yeah, they're quite shishy. Back then, a Skoda was a byword. Skodas and Ladas were the two most terrible cars in the world.
I have not thought about those.
Byword for shit cars.
For years.
Yeah, they've upped their game recently.
Boxy Eastern Bloc cars.
Yeah, so that joke has sort of dated-ish, isn't it, in the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, we used to note them more, I think, in the early series, where we would spot a joke that really placed it in time, and I think that is one actually.
Mm.
I mean, because it wouldn't be PC today. It's about as stable as two Italian taxi drivers stuck behind two priests in a Skoda.
Yeah, that was it.
I sort of see where they were going with that, and indeed the flat cap joke. I was sort of jotting down quite a few jokes, and I thought that just feels like a joke by the numbers. I wasn't blown away by a big chunk of it actually.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it bobbled along. It wasn't all hilarious, but I was enjoying the story.
Oh, gotcha.
And there was enough funny stuff to keep it going that the balance was okay, I found. Let's talk Kochanski, shall we? Obviously, a new character. How did we find her performance? How did we find the stuff she was given to do? I suppose are the two main points, aren't they? So, Matty, how did you find her performance?
I found her perform pretty well. It was strange in a way because it kind of it sounds a bit stupid, but it felt kind of like, wait, who are you? Why are you being so comfortable and chatty with everyone? You haven't earned this yet. And I felt like she was being straight away just straight at home, which was we didn't seem to have like an introduction phase as such. But then
that sounds like a good thing.
Well, yeah. On the flip side of that, we've already met Kochanski in the form of Claire Grogan. I see what you're saying. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but obviously, you know, your opinion is completely valid, of course.
When we allow it. Yeah, but how did you find her performance, Matt?
See, I do remember her. So I have watched this episode, albeit 24 years ago, so I can't remember anything about it, which is ironic because I don't remember Rimmer leaving at all. I know I really like her. There was the one thing that I really said. I'm a mite panicky here when she's like falling through space.
Mm. I thought she conveyed that quite well.
Yeah, no, I liked that, though. I did like that.
Danielson.
Yeah, no, she was just competent from the off. She knew what she was doing because she's got her own agency. She's the surviving human and in her universe. And so, yeah, she does know at least a starting point for where all these characters
are. So this is character-wise as opposed to Chloe Annette.
I just thought she was good. She did fit in. I was concentrating on her, the character, rather than thinking, wasn't she in Altered Images? And she's not very good at acting. I was just able to enjoy the performance and the fact that I, that I found that that character, she made that character absolutely plausible.
Yeah, I think for her first performance, absolutely. I think she did well. I think there are a couple of moments where I felt she was a little bit uncomfortable with a couple of the comedy lines, but no, maybe that's more of the lines weren't that great. The bit with Crichton when they were typing and stuff, and I felt like she could have sold it, her excitement a bit more, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, first
but she does, time in. She does knock Claire Grogan into a cocked hat, you know. Yeah. It was a case of really seriously ditch the acting, go back to singing, happy birthday, happy birthday.
But no, I think she did really well. And, yeah, it's interesting to have a female on board, isn't it, really? Because obviously we're four guys talking about a programme that's got lots of guys in it. And I think this was an early example of guys getting upset because a woman's on board.
Well, you've just answered my question. I was actually going to say, I wonder what the hardcore Red Dwarf fan base at the time thought about it. Was it a bit sort of like, no?
Well, I think so. I think I was as hardcore as you could be, I suppose, in the sense of that. And it was a sort of like Rimmer going to be replaced by someone else.
Rimmer's being replaced by a girl.
I don't know if I've ever worried about that side of it, but just Rimmer being replaced.
Yeah, but slightly better adjusted than, you know, than some people.
I try.
Only slightly.
But no, I mean, I'm not sure what the hell those trousers were she was wearing. But hey, she
what was that bit with the pants at the end?
Because it was just an embarrassing situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
Crying didn't tell her because so she looked foolish, basically.
Okay. Was that like the equivalent of her having a skirt tucked into a knickers?
Yeah.
Okay, as opposed to the fact that she was actually wearing men's pants?
No, yeah, it's just that you're going out there and your ass is hanging out, so I'm not going to tell you, wasn't it? So, good. Well, I'm sort of glad that this is... I guess we're all 21st century enlightened men, aren't we, really? That's what it must be. That we're not too perturbed by this. At the end of the day, it's got to come down to whether the writing is funny and the performance is funny, because she's definitely a straighter character than Rimmer. I mean, this is the worry going forward in that sense, that we've lost Rimmer.
We've lost Rimmer, but potentially we've got somebody that she's going to potentially make more jokes than be the butt of them. So it will change the dynamic quite a bit. Potentially it gives the opportunity for the rest of the crew to take on slightly different roles, and maybe it'll be good for them to mix it up slightly.
Creates different situations, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a sitcom, the sit has changed. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting it comes at this point where the show is feeling different, so it's quite hard to separate
those issues. Maybe. It is quite weird that back in the day, when I used to sort of, as I said, part-time watch it, Rimmer was by far my least favourite character, and I loved Crichton. And really, I've kind of done a sort of complete about turn, that Rimmer has become my favourite character. I was so looking forward to Crichton joining, and...
All through series two.
Yes, I do find Crichton a little bit irritating sometimes, I think.
You're lying! It's a smug metal git. Yes. Disgusting.
Bonk-bonk.
Bonk-bonk.
So, Matty, how are you feeling going forward? Are you confident that things are going to be good? Or, I mean, we're three episodes into this series. It's sort of mixed, I think, for me. How do you feel?
I'm confident that things are going to be different.
Well done.
I think that's what I'll say for now. I'm confident things are going to be different. I don't want to get my hopes up.
No, I, as I said before, I think we've got some ups and downs potentially. But yeah, I enjoyed this one. Right, a couple of questions there. A couple of story questions. Let's where we're not allowed to give the answer because it's Red Dwarf. I want to know what you think about the fact in the parallel universe that Holly resurrected Lister. Out of all the people on the ship, so Kachansky was put in stasis, and Holly, nice name check, chose to resurrect Lister as a hologram. Why did he choose Lister? Any takers?
Well, I think there's a comparable logic to resurrecting Rimmer. It was about finding the right person to keep the surviving human sane. And now, and potentially, Holly has a bit of a malicious streak. certainly in our universe, by bringing back Rimmer, although, you know, time and again, it's been proven that whilst Rimmer drives Lister to the very edge of sanity, ultimately they are good for each other. Or, you know, Lister has survived this long, whereas if he was mooning around over hologrammatic Kachansky, maybe he wouldn't, especially for the several series where Kachansky was soft light and he couldn't do anything with Kachansky in the way that he might like.
I think Holly made the wrong choice.
Sorry?
I think Holly made the wrong choice.
Which so
they've
which
broken one? Up, the parallel, Holly, they've broken up, and he chooses to bring back Lister, who was pining over this last survivor.
I think that Holly's got a romantic streak in the parallel universe and says, not only do I think these two kids are right for each other, also, I've only created him, so she's got no choice at this point.
Any other thoughts on that, or is that enough about the inevitability of that? Well, they had to have Lister.
She could have ended
because he hadn't left. Interestingly, Kat in the other universe is practically mute.
I think he had lines. There were lines that were cut out. I know that.
He had one line.
I don't think he had many lines, but apparently he had a deeper voice. But to be honest, Kat in our universe didn't have that much.
No, it was not a great Kat episode.
No, although I did love. I felt, as I said earlier, going back a little bit. The way Kat entered with a baseball glove, that felt very series 1-2 to me. He just came in and went, hey! I wish he'd sold it more and done a bit more.
That's true. And his line, his kind of like one of his funny lines was very retro, shall we say. The weird with a capital W, which is like smooth, like with a capital... Yeah.
Smooth.
Something shown up on a long-range scan, which is weird with a capital W.
Can you be a tad more scientific?
Come again?
Is it a wibbly thing or a swirly thing, sir? At this early stage, I'd hate to commit myself and wind up looking a fool.
I did wonder, was he on the bridge of Starbug, saw this thing and thought, I must go and get the others, but I will stop and pick up this and glove. Or was he mucking around on the deck on the bridge and then he ran straight down and didn't have time to get rid of it? But by the time he arrived there, he'd forgotten what he was there for anyway. Yeah. So either is possible with Kat.
So what do you think of Kat, Matty?
I didn't really saw much of him in this one.
No.
No, that he was very... Yeah, I think he was just there for the sake of being there. He obviously didn't play any sort of part in this story, as it were.
Did you pick up on the Officer BB stuff? Because, again, that's a casualty of the cuts. Although he does say, he starts calling Kachansky Officer BB. But he does mention it later on. He calls her Bud Babe, so Officer Bud Babe.
Okay.
So that's where that is. So I think that might come up again in future episodes when he calls her Officer BB.
Okay, fair enough.
Just to answer that question.
Well, it's a shame if they did cut bits of that out, because actually, well, I don't know whether it is a shame, because I thought him getting a little bit confused, a little bit flustered when he was talking to her.
Because he clearly fancied her,
but whereas I think in the past either it would have been written or he would have played it so, like, telegraphing this is what's happening, he just kind of played in what we got in the cut. He just was that, whereas when he met Ace last week, he was gushing about his designer and all that kind of stuff, which was none of us, I don't think, really liked that, whereas I thought he played it more subtly. So, and I preferred it.
Because he had that moment where he had to turn it off and turn it back on again.
That so power, wibbly, wibbly.
Hey, Officer Bud Babe, about that power, similililum, nililum drive, taken care of.
Taken care of.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was a funny line.
I like that.
Similililum, nililum.
Yes.
I'm sure I tried to write that down.
So. Oh, I wrote burble.
Of course, we had a call back to the Nova 5. Yes. There's a few more references to the past. Here, obviously, even the story about Lister in a pool table.
Yeah.
What a crap bar. Oh, I'm going to go to this pool bar with a cage in it.
Well, have you ever been to Egbeth?
No.
Cages are good. Unless Matty has got some facts, I do know a fact about the Egbeth arms.
Okay, well, there's facts galore here. So.
Well, apparently it's actually the name of a real pub in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And it was where the Rob Grant and Doug Nelly used to drink. Hmm. Apparently it's now called the Victoria.
But I think it was actually filmed at Laser Quest.
It looks a bit Laser Quest.
This is why the cage was there, I think.
Yeah. I don't think it was that was actually the real place.
No, let's hope not.
But I mean, do you have any sort of
complaints or sort of things you didn't necessarily really like or think that worked in this episode? Because I've got a few.
Cool. Will you go in then? Go on, give us one.
Well, first of all, the CGI slow motion running. Not slow motion, the sort of on-the-spot running was crap.
That was like an old Doctor Who when they're running and getting tree branches whacked in their face.
Yeah, it was really quite sort of serious. You are not convincing anyone. But my biggest complaint overall was Crichton. Champagne, everyone, with five glasses. Who were they for?
And he then says, oh, I must go and find the others. Well, Lister's the only one not there. I just thought it was funny.
Five glasses. So Kachansky, Lister, the cat, the second cat, and potentially the other Lister.
He was
they were disconnected by that point. I thought they were connected.
They were coming back, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because that's why you've got champagne, because she's leaving.
Oh, you've got an answer for everything.
Well, you did ask.
But Mew! I just was like, there's too many glasses on there, Crichton.
But it's possibly correct, so...
Well, possibly might be correct. However, it did not occur to me, and it means it wouldn't have compared to the whole of the rest of the West Midlands.
You've got big problems, you know that.
Matty, quick jump in. Bugbear of the week. Come on.
I can't really think of an actual bugbear for this one. Genuinely, I'm looking at my list here. I can't think of a bugbear.
Well, I suppose that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean... I was worried there was going to be quite a few this episode.
Were you, being sort of like, you know, young and used to sort of things in HD and stuff, did you not find the kind of space tube on the spot CGI running thing a little kind of hack?
I mean, it was
too early days.
It was terrible, but at the end of the day, it's not the first time in Red Dwarf that I said, well, the special effects are a bit iffy. It is Red Dwarf. But the
effects that are moving forward, aren't they? So I didn't think it was shit. I was thinking early days CGI on TV.
And you know what? When they first actually see the actual big blue swirly gate, but not when they're in it, but they see it, that didn't look too bad.
No, that didn't. When they first saw it, before they were in it, I agree with you there.
Hmm. But we actually had model shots, weirdly, when they were in the chase with the... We haven't mentioned the girl shit, but...
Let's just agree.
That was a terrible convenience, wasn't it? The girls have penetrated. Oh no!
The girls have come back at just the wrong moment. with that photo of the one that looks like Brian Blessed, I was like, oh please. Or hut.
I love that. I was saving that for my next big bit, but I like that.
And then Kat said, you know, talking about the wedding, and Kat said, it was beautiful. Yeah. Like, oh.
But yeah, they did. That was very convenient they came back. But hey, that's just a laugh, I suppose. But yeah, we had a model shot in the chase. So we went from CGI to how come we suddenly got a model shot chase again? I found that a bit weird.
Mm.
Although I preferred the model shot.
Well, I think in terms of the sets and the models are good and getting better. If you think back to series one, where everything was grey and it just said beer on the can of beer, now there's a lot of richness.
James C. Beer, was it?
Yeah. There's a lot much more richness to it. And I think that means that when they do go down the computer-generated effects route, given the time and probably the budget, they look a little bit weak. I don't know how weak they looked at the time. They certainly look weak to us now. But for me, it was, let's go for another long walk in front of a green screen, which they sort of did last week.
It's typical. It's similar time, obviously, in film terms to the Star Wars prequels coming out, isn't it, really? It's that sort of time period. So, yeah, TV was obviously different from films, as it always has been.
It's the same year that they re-edited the original Star Wars trilogy. Yeah. That came out in 97. So,
and what a good job George Lucas did of that. Right, moving on.
There's been a small explosion in several heads.
Dan, bugbear from you.
There wasn't anything major there were no plot holes that bugged me or anything like that.
Well, it's a paradox, is that? In itself a plot hole.
No, I find paradoxes just interesting. For me, it's particularly in the first half, I thought there were some jokes that were like, almost like, yeah, no, that'll do. We'll come back and we'll do a better one later, but they didn't. I wasn't a big fan of the not stable Italian taxi driver behind the priest in the Skoda. Describing nasal hair as half a loo brush and and the joke about women who work in Oxfam shops.
Obviously, I'm excluding women who work in Oxfam shops.
They just weren't. Well, you've all laughed, so it's fine. It's fine.
I don't know why I'm laughing because you're.
But they weren't. Yeah, to me, they were a little bit.
I think obviously the analogies are starting to run out a bit because they've used a lot now.
They have. Well, they recycle an awful lot. I mean, there are better jokes they could go back and use. Yeah,
possibly.
Thicker than a ticket tout's wallet. That was, I think, one of the first ones.
It's not funny. It's just inappropriate.
I get the reference. I just didn't think it was funny.
No, it's just. But then you've also got a non-character.
Yeah.
Well, not a non-character, but someone we don't know or care about trying to make a funny when it didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you don't want to give the good material to the guy with two lines.
No.
And there was a joke that kind of, I just thought I need an explanation, so I'm glad I've remembered it. It's going faster than a copy of Hello magazine in a nunnery.
Yeah.
So do women of the cloth crave celebrity gossip?
I think they're starved. They're starved of information. So therefore, if a copy of Hello gets in there, they would rush to get some entertainment. That's what I took as.
Okay. I think that's probably what they were going for. But again, it was a bit, all right.
Yes, I agree. Next.
Yeah. But they've used a lot of these now, as we say, so maybe it's becoming harder. But down to, we've lost Rob Grant, that sort of like pet partnerships honing these things, maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So the thing that I sort of noticed that I felt was slightly odd was when they were rescuing Kaczynski the first time, there was a lack of exciting music, I felt. You know, when Lister was sneaking into Swat Crichton's head over there, it was like, dun, 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 dun,
music, is there, yes.
Does it need to be this?
And when he was rushing for the second rescue,
to get
the mountaineering equipment that for some reason they'd taken from the other Starbuck.
Yeah.
I don't know, Crichton attempts to explain that, but so seriously, bloody stupid.
Again, I think there might have been a cut there somewhere. But
yeah, quite possibly.
But yes, there was dramatic music for that rescue. Yeah. But the first one, it was all very silent. It felt like, why didn't you make this a bit more...
Do you know what it reminds me of? And I don't know if it was a direct parody of the film Cliffhanger at the start where... Yeah. Did you...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it was... I didn't think of it at the time, but yeah, now you're saying.
I just thought, oh, that reminds me of...
And it would have been around that time.
Did
Sylvester Stallone save someone with dental floss in that as well?
He probably could have.
Yes. What a guy. It was silent, but it also left a big space for... Golden Crichton and just
they weren't shouting.
Just now. Well, no, that's what I was going to say. They just basically stood there whilst our Dave, absolute legend, in teddy bear slippers, a pink crinoline 90, and dental floss saves her. And he's calling out instructions, you know, hold my legs, man, do this, do that, the other. And I guess our cat and Crichton are occupied doing that. The others are just stood there. There's no. Chrissy, well, he doesn't call her Chrissy, he calls her Christine, doesn't he, because he's so cultured, he doesn't call her Chrissy.
No, yeah, that was my biggest problem. That bit lacked drama when it could have been better.
Especially
for when they woke up and gave him a kiss and all that sort of stuff. But I do really like the care and attention to set up with jokes, the pink robe and the floss and everything. And then it becomes useful as well.
Yeah, that was a good bit of writing.
So that was good. Yeah.
I swear that dressing gown thing has been reused in EastEnders.
Very possible.
I swear I've seen Danny Dyer wearing that in EastEnders.
Now, I've got a line written down here, which I obviously liked, but now because we've had a little bit more time in between, I can't remember what it applies to. It's bossy old trollop.
Yes.
What is this?
Yes. I'm a mere mechanoid, and it's not my place to point out she's a bossy old trollop. She's comparing you to her Lister.
We haven't even mentioned In and Out bits.
I've been thinking about them.
Ooh, make love to me, you horny dude.
I'm sure you have your filthy swine.
But it was...
Well, okay. Let's ask Matty, because he's in his prime of youth, apparently. Did you find Kaczynski an attractive lady?
Yes. I would.
Classy. No, she's nice. Clarinet, very good. I don't know. Guys, do you want to say much else before we move to any more particular highlights? I'm not sure I've got any now because we mentioned that.
I was waiting for one of you to do that.
But Has anyone got? Just offer yourselves. Offer yourselves. Anything else you like, Mattias? Go to you as you're tired. You're already falling asleep. Bless you.
I feel like I am. No.
Yes. Yay! Take a drink, everyone. Take a drink.
One more question, though. Sorry. Don't want to slow anyone down.
No.
The Lister's theory at the end about how.
Yes, I was going to say this.
Yeah. So, are we just? We're just going along with that.
I know what happened. Do you? That's definitely what it is.
That was of all the leaps.
Give me your baby.
Of all the leaps that they have made, that was like, oh, you know, this all of a sudden makes a lot of sense. I need to take this baby.
I was a bit like, what?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But it, not just the leap that, oh, this is what we need to do. I need to go and retrieve the baby. But even you know, oh, the human race will never become extinct now. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
I sort of follow their logic, but it's not much of a future for the human race.
Go around in a circle. But it's all like, I mean, okay, I'm going to jump in. This is my line that I liked when he was running on going, Mum, wait!
Yes, I did. I did like that.
I'm my own father. And Chris is my ex-girlfriend and my mum.
There's just so many things wrong with that, though.
But, yeah, it's all like, well, she's going to turn around and say, oh, yeah, that's a good theory. Here, have the tube back.
Yes.
So yes, I'm with you there. I'm pleased. Definitely question that. Leap to conclusions. I put there. So good question. I've done my last line. Got any more lines, Matt?
There's one. So a second swear word, because we had the mouse shit roll. We had bastard this time.
Oh, when, for the leg.
When she had the harpoon and the leg and crying and saying, oh, it's an obscene phone call.
Yeah. Yes.
So we need to finish on you, Dan.
I'm going to plump for Lister telling Rimmer that people say, oh, ha, ha, I've got no sense of humour. They just can't think of a witty retort. And of course, Rimmer says,
no, ha, ha.
But I still laughed.
I don't know. That was up there with a, is that a good one or not a good one? I'm not quite sure.
I liked it because it was because of the way it was delivered, I think. Yes, I'm pleased with new Kochanski. The Rimmer bit was my favourite bit of the episode, but I am nonetheless. I feel now I'm able to say goodbye and I'm able to look forward.
You're lying.
And if there is anyone called Tiffany that happens to have a pair of orange crotchless panties, then we hold.
This is Matty's number.
Oh, I think Matty's already got her number.
Yeah. Oh, see, I've just seen another note now. And I don't know the quote, but I've got fabric of space time and the fabric of my pants. I can't remember how that comes together, but I laughed.
It's also causing a major disturbance in the fabric of my pants.
Yeah, I'll find the quote.
It was a good early cat line, but yeah. when he wasn't having much.
Well, I'm sort of pleased coming to the end of this because I didn't know this is a sort of a turning point episode. So, the episode itself, we seem to have fairly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. You know, and going online, reading a few bits and pieces, I think it did come in for a lot of stick at the time. I think it's nice that we can look at it from many years hence and enjoy it. Matty looks like it's going to fall asleep. So do you want to say goodbye before you fall asleep, Matty?
Okay. It's a goodbye for me then.
We're stuck with you.
With the last of his energy.
No, I'm not used to doing that.
No. Okay, no. It's goodbye. You've said goodbye, so you can drift off now. It's fine. So it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from me.
See you later, everyone.
Flash sideways, flash, 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 flash,